Paolo here, and then we'll trace the path. So the Gemara had mentioned trying to figure out why this was not a gzeira l'gzeira, and if we're talking about putting chicken and milk or meat and milk even onto the table, what exactly are we afraid of? And ultimately the Gemara talks about bringing these items in together in a ilfas roseach. If you have this boiling stew pot, then that maybe that's going to create bishul there on the table. So the Kresi Uplesi, the Venus and Eifshitz, says, you see from here that when it comes to basa b'chalav, that there is bishul acher bishul. Because presumably, you're already eating, right? So presumably, the food that you have at the table is already cooked. And yet, we're concerned that you're going to come to cook it again. That's what the Gemara is concluding here, that there's a chshash bishul. So says the Kresi Uplesi, that you see here that there is this concern, apparently, that we do worry about bishul acher bishul when it comes to bishul basa b'chalav. So you may recall we talked about this briefly in our general introduction to bishul basa b'chalav. We tried to figure out to what extent is bishul basa b'chalav connected or relatable to other yisurim of bishul, such as bishul b'shabbos. And we wondered, is it possible that there's a difference? Right, what was the difference, perhaps? Right, that maybe when it comes to Shabbos, how Shabbos is defined, by your engaging in a malacha, right, you're engaging in a creative act. While bishul basa b'chalav is about the product. So, yes, maybe it's correct that there is this applicability of bishul basa b'chalav, even if it's been cooked already. But as some later svarim point out, like the Chalkes Yoav, for example, says maybe that's true if they were cooked separately. Because the gather of the iser is creating the combination of the meat and milk. So if they're cooked separately, okay, so then fine, we'll say bishul acher bishul in terms of combining them. But if they're already combined, so then to cook them together, so then we would go back to saying ein bishul acher bishul. So this is a major machlokas aposkim. We'll see, as we go through the parak, we'll see continued indications one way or another on daf of kuf ches. This will come up again. As Rabbi Akiva Eiger may have mentioned, that if meat and milk were pickled together for kavush, so then there is a prohibition of cooking them again because the kavush is only drabbanan, which makes it sound like ein bishul acher bishul. If they'd actually been cooked together, then there wouldn't be a prohibition of cooking them again. So it makes a difference. This sugya, perhaps like the Kresi is suggesting, sounds like there is a prohibition of bishul even if they are cooked independently. But if they're cooked together, we still don't know from this Gemara that there's a prohibition of cooking them again. Lamaisa, it's still a machlokas on all points. There is still a machlokas that even if they're cooked independently, might still be a question whether there's an issur to cook them together in the Torah. So that has major ramifications because, you know, for example, milk at least is nowadays cooked already, so if it's pasteurized, so that may save us from a lot of basa b'chalav in HaTorah. But as we see, that position is subject to machlokes. But also, if you say that even if it's only when they're cooked together, that there's no bishul acher bishul, that also comes up in some cases, like we talked about the situation of the chemical test on the item to see if it's got basa b'chalav in it, or the candles that were made out of basa b'chalav, if you could light them. So if you already have the combination of basa b'chalav, and for whatever reason you want to put it through a cooking process. So it makes a difference if you want to say that ain bishul achar bishul, at least in terms of the combination. Okay, so far so good. All right, so now just to get us past the Mishnah and to introduce some themes that we'll have to continue tomorrow, but we see that there is a machlokas, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in the Mishnah. All right, so what's the machlokas? So the Mishnah tells us, Ha'of ole magvina ala shulchan ve'eno nechal divrei Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai allows you to have chicken and cheese on the table together. Not to eat them together, but you can have, not to eat them as one, but you can have the chicken and the cheese on the table together. And Beis Hillel is more machmir lo ola v'lo nechal, that you can't eat them, nor can they be on the table together. And that seems to be the dominant position. And Rav Yossi is the one who comments. Rav Yossi was the one who started the Mishnah also. That's what got us into the whole thing of Omer Dover B'Shem Omro. Zu mikulei b'shamay u'michumri b'sil. So here, this more machmer position is the position of Beis Hillel. But let me ask you, why do you think Beis Shammai's position was what it was? Especially if Beis Shammai tends to be more machmir. Is there a reason you could understand why Beis Shammai may have stated that more lenient position? Why would you think maybe that we should say that chicken should be allowed on the table together with cheese, together with milk?
Zero.
Oh, so what about that, right? So what about the whole concern that the previous sugya was talking about? This issue of gzeira agave gzeira. So why is Beis Hillel okay with that? Right, Ha'ala is clearly a gzeira, right? The Gemara, very unusual here, has just the Mishnah, like it just works well with having Gemara before it in this case, but Ha'ala is clearly a gzeira. So are we saying here now that chicken is daraisa? There's a view like that, but it's not how we paskin. So what exactly is going on? Why is Beis Hillel more machmir on this? So this is what we'll have to try to set the stage for, and we'll have to try to explore a little bit more tomorrow. And part of why these sugyas are so fascinating and why we spent so much time laying the groundwork for understanding the whole concept of Gezeres Chazal and Gezeres L'Gezer and all of that is because you see how the nature of what needs to be addressed through a gzeira is really embedded in this whole sugya of basar b'chalav and how the different parts relate to each other. The fact that Chazal prohibited, to whatever extent they did, chicken and milk. So how did they do that? What's the nature of that gzeira? Now we saw that a limitation on the gzera exclusion is if it's all one gzera, then we don't object and we say gzera le gzera. So if we can formulate the attitude towards chicken, essentially if we can formulate it as one sentence, so if we can formulate it as one concept, any rules that will come out of that one concept are fair game. So that seems to be the first step to understanding this. Right, what exactly did Chazal do with chicken? What did they prohibit? What's the nature of the prohibition? Did they tell us to relate to it in a certain way? Did they tell us that it has a new status? Right, we saw already that the Rambam surprised us by saying that you're permitted to cook chicken and milk. And we had to try to figure out why that was. But here on this issue, the Rambam will agree that you can't have chicken and milk on the same table. So how do you view that? What exactly is the nature of the prohibition of chicken and milk? So is the question that perhaps that chicken and milk, is it viewed as midrabanan, like a chefza of basa b'chalav? That's how they treated it? Is that the idea? And that once you have it, that's the case, that you have to see it that way? And therefore this is all one idea. Don't eat them together. Don't have them on the plate together. Does it make sense to say that it's illogical to have a rule that you can't have meat on the plate with milk, but say that chicken you can't have on the plate, once we're saying you can't eat chicken with milk also? Even though cooking, according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, you can do. But is that a step removed in a different way? That's something we'll have to figure out. What we'll also have to try to figure out is this, if you saw some sources about, so right after the whole maybe Dover B'Shem Omro line, so then the Gemara starts, Tana Agra Chamua Rabbi Abba, Of V'Gvina Ne'achalin Bapi Karin. Right, what does that mean? So I can eat it freely, right? The word apikoron is connected to the word apikoros, and also the word hefker, and also the word epicurean. They all are connected. It all means free living, essentially. Right? So you're apparently unbound. But what exactly does that mean? So hu tani lo, hu omer lo, v'lo netil sidayim, v'lo kinu achapet. That you don't have to clean up in between. You don't have to wash your hands, and you don't have to wash out your mouth. But in which direction? After you can have chicken after cheese without washing your mouth out? Other way around also? You can have chicken and then have cheese afterwards? Is that true? Now we know, as or from our lives as observant Jews, that we don't do that. But is that what the Gemara means? This is machlokas. Right? The Rambam doesn't think so, but some of the Rishonim did. In other words, that they were assuming that we relate to chicken and meat in a fundamentally different way. That even though meat would require a more absolute separation from the time you eat it and the time you have milk, but chicken would be a different story. So all of this goes to the question of how are you defining the Issur D'Rabbanan of eating chicken with milk? But it also goes to another question. If you're not cooking them together to begin with, so eating even meat and milk is an Issur D'Rabbanan. So, what is the nature? This is a question that Rav Soloveitchik asked. What is the nature of the Issur d'Rabbanan of meat and milk, of eating meat and milk? Is that a gezeirah that we want to keep you away from cooking meat and milk and eating that? Or eating meat and milk that was cooked together? Probably it's a better way to say it, that we don't want you to come and eat meat and milk that was cooked together. That's asur min haTorah. Or is it that on a rabbinic level, this is itself considered a combining of meat and milk? In other words, that min haTorah, the combination of meat and milk, is about cooking them together. And that creates the prohibited item, the chepsa shel iser. And midrabanan, you can create basar v'chalav even without cooking it. Let's say just eating them together creates a combination of meat and milk. And in fact, let's go back for a second to the Mishnah. We started with on Kuv Gimel Amid Beis. And what does Rashi say right at the very beginning of the Mishnah? V'asu lahalos. What does Rashi say there? Dilma asi l'machlinu ki hadadi. What are we worried about? That maybe you're going to come and eat them together when they are together. T'chanogi ubali mahadadi. That they will touch each other. They will absorb from each other. The afal gav shemutter lechol basar achar gvina kedemrin gemar. So even though you can have meat after cheese, but if you're going to maybe eat them together, so then maybe the act of eating them together combines them. Right? That Rashi is very interesting. Rav Soloveitchik emphasizes this Rashi. Maybe what Rashi is saying is that it's not that we're trying to keep you away from eating basa b'chal of daraisa. It's that maybe on a d'rabbana level, this is considered a creation of basa b'chal. So we got to figure out what are our d'rabbanans about. Because it makes a difference. So what is it that we're trying to establish with each din d'rabbanan? So that's we'll have to continue with tomorrow, but let's just try to recap what we spoke about today. We spoke about a couple of different things. So we continue the theme of maybe Dover B'Shom Omro. Talked about whether it's about offending the speaker and or whether it's about Mavis Das. And we talked about the Chuvas Chemdes Tzvi and his observations that there's an aspect of Gezel, and that it continues even after the person is no longer alive, and about the Sefer Chassidim, that you'd be stealing from yourself if you don't reveal your Torah. And we talked about the Machim Achaim and the Maran Shik, about whether somebody who steals the very Torah is possible as a Shochet, and different sources that they considered separate from this. And then we talked about the different observations of the Tshuva Safra Kasta D'Anya, that there shouldn't be mechila because there's still gneivas das, and also there's no geula. And then we talked about why there's a geula, his position that it encourages more Torah to come out. We mentioned a few other angles and why there should be geula. And also if you add, that doesn't absolve you of your obligation to acknowledge the first part. That was also not batal. We talked about that. And then we got into the complicated question of going the other direction. What if you quote something in someone's name that he didn't say? Is there any justification for that? The Gemara in Sukkah and the Magen Avraham. We talked a little bit about the Gemara in Brachos that's coming up in Daf Yomi soon. We advised great caution towards utilizing that. And then we talked about the Gemara on the top of Kuftal and Mibes and about its implications for Bishul Achar Bishul and the comment to the crazy that it sounds like from this Gemara that there is bishul acher bishul, but as the Chalkas Yoav points out, that's only all you can see from here is that if the items were cooked separately, there's bishul acher bishul, but if they were combined before, so then maybe there's no bishul acher bishul in combining them. We spoke about some implications of that whole discussion, and then we got into the machlokas Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about having chicken and cheese on the same table. And we paskin like Beis Hillel not allowing that, but it's a little bit surprising because what about gezeira legezeira considerations? That seems to be an issue. And that got us into a discussion of how do we view the gezeira of chicken and milk. That we know that if we were formulated as chada gezeira, so then that would be an exclusion from gzera l'gzera, so we have to figure out how exactly do we formulate the nature of this gzera. Is it that Chazal told us to relate to it as if it was meat and milk? Is that the idea? Or is it something else? And then we tried to start the question of what does it mean, nechalon b'apikorin, that you saw as a machlokas rishonim, that according to some, it's just talking about cheese before chicken, but chicken before cheese, we treat like meat before cheese, which we know is our current practice, lahalacha, but you saw that some Rishonim disagreed, that maybe there's a fundamental difference between chicken and meat as far as that's concerned. So that left us with the question to try to figure out what is the nature of the whole rabbinic prohibition of chicken vis-a-vis milk. And it also left us to consider the question of what is the nature of the prohibition of eating meat and milk, the prohibition midrabanan, because min haTorah, the prohibition is only to eat meat and milk that's been cooked together. So if it hasn't been cooked together, what's the prohibition midrabanan there? Is it because we're worried you may come to eat meat and milk that's been cooked together? Or is it because of something else? Is it because that this constitutes a combination of meat and milk on a level, midrabanan, even if it's not being cooked? And we saw that that's what Rashi sounds like on the Mishnah, because Gimel Amud Beis, that maybe when they're in your mouth at the same time, so maybe that's a process of combining them, and maybe that's something that has its own level of problem, even if that's on a level, midrabanan. Okay, any questions about anything? Everything clear today? Everything makes sense? Yeah, you good? Okay, so I wish everyone continued. Go ahead.